The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the word of God.
Turn with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23. Proverbs 4:23. And today we are dealing with healing through the Spirit. Healing through the Spirit. Remember last week's text I used had to do with many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. Now today we are going to go to Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The King James Version says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The word keep is equal to the word guard. And that is also the same as protect. So keep means to protect, to defend, to be watchful, and to constantly monitor. So keep means to guard, to protect, defend, keep. No, I'm saying using the word keep again. Be watchful, and then you constantly monitor. God wants you to take this responsibility and execute it very well. What are you supposed to keep? To keep your heart. To keep your heart. To guard your heart. To be watchful over your own heart. You must guard your heart more than your money. You must guard your heart more than your house. You must guard your heart more than your position. The second word there is diligence. Keep thy heart with diligence. In this context, diligence means all efforts. Keep your heart with all efforts. Keep your heart with vigilance. So diligence here also means vigilance. All efforts, all caution, and vigilance. Vigilance means being watchful. It's not God's responsibility to keep your heart. God's responsibility is to keep your life. But it's your responsibility to keep your heart. And how do you keep your heart? You keep it with all effort. You keep it with all caution and keep it with diligence, vigilance. Now, what does it mean when we say issues of life? Issues of life, another rendition says springs of life, or the life-giving forces. Springs of life. Guard your heart with all diligence. Keep your heart with every effort, every vigilance, because out of your heart come forth the springs of life, the things that keep you going. Because out of your heart comes forth the life-giving forces. What are some of the life-giving forces? Faith, the power of God, the grace of God, love, peace, joy, temperance, etc., gentleness, meekness. Because these things are embedded in the crust of your spirit, and they are the life-giving forces. If you are to achieve anything in life, it will come from your spirit. If you are to overrun your enemies, it will come from your spirit. If you are to prevail in spiritual warfare against the enemy, it will come from your spirit. If you are to win the battle of finances in life, it will come from your spirit, because in that place are the issues of life. That is where you have the life-giving forces. So your heart is the center of your life. And your heart determines the direction of your life. If your heart is headed in the right direction, your life follows suit. And if your heart is headed in the wrong direction, your life is carried along. So in a nutshell, your heart is related to your destiny. Destiny is what happens at the end. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof, in other words, the destiny of that way, are the ways of death. So there is a destiny of life and there's a destiny of death based on the choices that you make in life. God has scheduled a destiny for you that is of life. The Bible says, and what he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. And what he did predestinate, he also called. And what he called, he justified. And what he justified, has he also glorified. So with the foreknowledge of God about your life, he predestined you to a glorious end. So your heart determines the direction you go to, because it governs your whole life. A well-kept heart produces a healthy life, and a poorly kept heart results in a sick body. A well-kept heart will give you good health and good life. A poorly kept heart is vulnerable and will often be faced with challenges of sickness, because the heart is the power center of your life. And if the heart is strong, then your body is strong. If the heart is weak, then your body is weak. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 14, in Proverbs 18, 14, the Bible says the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? The spirit of the man, the center of life, the place where the issues of life, where the life-giving forces come from, the Bible says they sustain his infirmity. Infirmity refers to sicknesses, refers to diseases. So the spirit of a man supports you in the time of ill health, in the time when you are faced with challenges in your health. It is your spirit that helps you to recover. So if the spirit is not well catered for, then the likelihood of your recovery will be compromised. It delays your health. So the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, so your condition does not degenerate, so you don't get destroyed and you don't get prematurely terminated from life. Then the Bible goes on to say that, but a wounded spirit who can bear? That means your spirit must always be in good shape. It is your duty to check and ascertain if your spirit is in good shape. And the Bible is saying that there are periods when that same spirit can be wounded. And it says that if you live with a wounded spirit, you yourself cannot bear it. Others around you cannot bear it. So your spirit will support you in the time of ill health, but a wounded spirit cannot support you. What is a wounded spirit? A wounded spirit in the original means a crushed spirit. A crushed spirit. Just like a ceramic material is crushed. But there are two types of crushed spirit in the Bible. Two types of crushed spirit in the Bible. The first one can be found in Psalm 34 verse 18. Psalm 34 verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. In other words, the Lord is near. He's always near unto those who have a certain disposition of their heart. That suggests to me that the Lord can be far away as well to some people who don't have the disposition of heart which has been described. So he says that the heart that attracts God, the heart that God is close to, number one, is a broken heart. And it goes ahead to say, and save such as be of a contrite spirit. It's a broken heart. It's a heart that has become submissive to God. Then let's focus on the contrite spirit. Contrite spirit means a crushed spirit. So this is the first kind of crushed spirit. It's referring to those who have come to the place of submission to the word of God and are willing to follow through with obedience without any resistance or resentment. Now take it step by step. Contrite spirit in Psalm 34:18 means a crushed spirit. And crushed spirit here is referring to those who have come to the place. Now there are people that when you go out to preach the gospel to, initially they are not in that place, spiritually speaking. But after they hear the word, they come to that place. There are some people that God speaks to in dreams and communicates to them by the Spirit of God. So God will be ministering to them and brings them to a place of submission to the word of God. They are willing to come under the authority of the word of God, and they are willing to follow through with obedience. So they take the necessary steps that will lead to salvation. Their hearts are broken, their hearts are open, they are willing to acknowledge their sins and to ask for forgiveness and be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And they are willing to allow themselves to be restored into God's kingdom. So they are submissive and they are obedient. And at that stage, they have no resistance. They don't fight the things of God. When a person hasn't come to this stage, they don't regard God. They don't fear God. One such example was in the life of Apostle Paul. When he was Saul, he went breathing threatenings. I mean, the guy would come and send people to knock at your door. He breathed threatenings upon the church. He went to seek letters of authorization to persecute. The man wanted to persecute legally. And he chased after the preachers. At the time that Stephen was being stoned and his clothes were removed, he said, give the clothes to me. And he handed the clothes and stood by and said, stone him to death. Now, this was a man whose heart was not broken. His heart was not contrite. His heart was not crushed. He hadn't come to the place of submission to the word of God and was not willing to follow through with obedience. He was resisting the word and fighting the word. But on that occasion that he was on the back of the horse, and the light of God shone, that shone brighter than the noonday light, and he fell off the back of the horse and heard the voice of Jesus saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard to kick against the authority of God." And that's when he had a broken heart and contrite spirit, a crushed spirit. He came to the place of submission and came to the place of obedience, and salvation was the end result. Can you put your hands together for that? So this kind of crushed spirit leads to godly sorrow, which in effect leads to repentance, a change of mind, a total turnaround from the world to Christ, from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son, from being influenced by the principles of the world to allowing yourself to be influenced by the principles of the Spirit of God. So this is the first example of having a crushed spirit. The second example, which is related to the message today, is in Proverbs chapter 18 verse 14, which we have alluded to. It says, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear?" But a crushed spirit. This second kind of a crushed spirit talks about a state of grief. The heart has been wounded. So the heart is in a state of pain, a state of sorrow, and there are feelings of disappointment. There are various activities in life that result in such a state of a wounded or crushed spirit. Number one could be disloyalty. Some people you trusted and invested all your confidence in, and when you so needed them, they gave up on you and they turned against you and possibly told your enemies about how to get you. Number two is a loss. When people lose property, they lose their house. It's either raised down by fire or floods destroy the house, or something else happens. They lose property. They lose their business. Some people also get crushed. They get wounded. They become sorrowful when they lose a dear one. They didn't anticipate that this will happen, and somehow they found themselves in this situation. The third category of people are those who have suffered abuse. Some it is verbal abuse. From the time they were born, they have been insulted and insulted and insulted and told they are good for nothing, and they have been compared with their younger brothers and sisters, and they have been told that they are good for nothing, they have a coconut head. And virtually, their self-esteem has been compromised. So they've been insulted with all the words, unprintable words that you can think about. Some of them have been physically abused. Someone either raped them, or someone slapped them continuously and abused them. And their lives have been terribly affected. Terribly, terribly affected. And there are situations of disappointment where people had hope and anticipated a bright future. But somehow something occurred and everything seemed to have fizzled into the thin air, and every opportunity seemed to have been whittled away by an adverse wind that blew. The Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. A sick heart cannot sustain you in the time of infirmity. A sick heart cannot help in the process of your recovery. A sick heart cannot enable you to have total restoration. You may be restored today and have a relapse tomorrow. Restored today and have a relapse tomorrow. And there are some that have attempted something and then they were not successful, and they've defined it as failure. They had temporary setback, but they felt that this has become their lot. This has become their portion for the rest of life. Threw up their arms in despair. Cursed the day they were born. And sat looking at life hopelessly. Now for such people, they are quite careless about their health. They don't mind what they eat. They don't care to take a good rest. They are not even diligent about exercising. And then they allow negative thoughts to run through their minds. So they allow stresses to be built in their lives. And the stresses result in some challenges of high blood pressure and all kinds of things in their life, because they are thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking, and they are taking medications, but the thing is not healing. The state of your mind helps medication to work. If your thoughts are negative, you may see the best doctor in the world, in the best hospital, with the best facilities, and be given the newest medication with the highest potency. It may just work for a few days, and then you have a relapse into the situation. So your thought processes are important. Your emotional and psychological well-being are important. So if you allow yourself to be wounded and walk around with the wounds, it makes you vulnerable. Vulnerable to more wounds. Vulnerable to more offenses. Vulnerable to more hurts. Is somebody listening to me? You don't have to live as a Christian and become so vulnerable that any little thing offends you. You find a cockroach flying, then it offends you. Everything offends you, including your own shadow. You wake up and you're offended by the fact that you woke up. You see the first person that you live with in the house, whether it's your wife or children, and you're offended. You enter church and you're offended. The praise and worship leader starts a song and it offends you. Now you have become vulnerable. You see two people having conversation, you see they are gossiping about you. How do you know? Your spirit of discernment is very sharp. You should be ordained into a prophetic office. If you ask them, How do you know? So when I got there, they started giggling. I said, did they mention your name? No, but I knew it was me. Oh, thank God for your spirit of discernment. It's so sharp. May God give you a prophetic office very soon. You are saying amen. Everything offends you. Everything. Asha offers you seat, you're offended. Park here, you're offended. A little correction is made, you're offended. Now, such people become touchy. Number one, because they are intolerant. Number two, they become easily angered. What others will laugh over, they will be seriously offended with. Number three, they get depressed. Number four, they become fearful. Number five, they get anxious. Number six, they may become bitter and unforgiving and resentful. Number seven, they will become vindictive, vengeful, or pay back evil for evil. So they are touchy, intolerant, easily angered, depressed, fearful, anxious, bitter and unforgiving, vindictive and vengeful. And sometimes they may cry all the time. The slightest thing, then the wound that is already festering, it's as if you have put a sharp object in their soul. You have reminded them about a past they don't want to hear about. And no matter how many years after that event or those series of events, they still will weep. There is nothing wrong with weeping. When you get offended, absolutely nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with weeping, even some months after, or a year after, or 2 years after, when you remember how you were maltreated, how you were abused, how somebody illegally took custody of you, imprisoned you somewhere, made you a sex slave. I mean, when you think about it, naturally you'll be offended and hurt. You dedicated your life to a particular cause. You served out of your house and somebody accused you falsely of having stolen some materials from the house, and it was not you, and you were sent out with nothing. Anytime you remember, it may hurt you, but that is no license to continue weeping for the rest of your life. Somebody should be clapping. It's not a license. It's not a license to continue weeping for the rest of your life. The Bible says that Jesus was sent to heal the brokenhearted. That's Luke 4:18. He was sent among the things to do to open the prison gates and set the captives free, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and do all those things. One of the things that he came to do was to minister to the brokenhearted. A time must come when you can share your testimony with amazing sense of humor and look back with gratitude that they meant it for evil, but God has turned the thing around for your good. You have heard this, my childhood stories about the challenge between mom and dad and how they got separated. You have heard about the attire that had to be sewn when we went to the tailor. Do you remember that? And the measurements were taken, and it was an accolade 12, accolade 14, and by the time the attires were ready, it was over, sir. I should have been weeping in church. Oh, Jesus Christ. I should have been weeping. But
The Holy Spirit has touched my life.
Oh, why didn't he hear an amen?
And I've become an ambassador to minister healing to people who are crushed in spirit. The area from which God raised you, he will build a ministry around you in that area. So you reach out. If he delivered you from forces of darkness, he will anoint you to go to the areas of darkness and bring out people for his glory. Is somebody hearing me? If he delivered you from poverty, he would raise you and bless you with wealth, so you will reach out to the needy and to the vulnerable and to the marginalized and be a relief into their lives. It is not an occasion to pity party. It is not an occasion to keep crying. Tell somebody next to you, you have the right to cry and weep. But the Bible says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Come on, put your hands together. Weeping may endure for a night. Weeping may endure for a night. Weeping may endure for a night. And there are some people, and please don't get me wrong, and I'm not making mockery of that, that they lose a loved one and they go there after 6 months, put a flower on the grave, excellent, and they weep a little, fine. A year after that, they weep a little, fine. But 30 years after that, you still go there and weep. Oh, I think I have some difficulty. You should have moved on. Tell the next person, move on, move on, move on, move on, move on. There is healing by the Spirit of God, and you must access that healing. You must open your heart for the Spirit of God to minister to you. Because there are certain aspects of your life that no man can reach except the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Or are you hearing what I'm preaching? And is it blessing you? If it's blessing you, let your amen be very, very loud. And yeah, I say, let your amen be very, 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 very powerful. Well, Hebrews 4:12, let's go ahead. It says, for the word of God is what? Quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit. There's a thin line between the soul and the spirit, and nothing can make that delineation except the word of God. In other words, the word of God is able to heal both your emotions, your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. Heal your soul as well as your spirit. So the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit. Somebody say amen. Amen. I say somebody say amen. Amen. Oh, are you there? Amen. Let me just refer to it so that I would explain some things. Hebrews 4:12. Thank you for your patience. Okay, there we are. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And listen to the next one. And of the joints and marrow. Joints and marrow are flesh.
So the word of God heals your spirit, heals your soul, and heals your physical body. May the pain in your joints disappear today. May the pain in your back disappear. May the pain in your hips disappear. May the pain in your arms disappear. By the power of God, in the name of Jesus, may the word pierce to that. You know how Satan deceives us? He breaks our focus when it's time to listen to the word of God. It's not every call that you should attend to when you are listening to the word. Tell the next person. Tell the next person. Now tell the person, can't you switch off your phone for a while? Can't you give total attention to the word of God? Undivided attention, that the word of God may permeate your life. But you have become a slave to your own phone. Pastor, I'm looking at scriptures. Then go ahead and look at scriptures only. 1, 2, you get up, go and stand outside on Sunday morning when you are in service. Don't the people who know you should be in church? Ask the next person. I'm serious on this. Don't they know you will be in church? That the people you run business with, they are so ungodly that it's Sunday morning that they will call you. Won't you shadow them when to call you? But you have become a slave to your own phone, and the devil is using that to break your focus and to break your attention. Elijah told Elisha that if you will let nothing break your focus, at the instant that the chariot of God comes to take me away, the hard thing you have asked for, that you will have a double portion of my spirit, shall be given to you. Can I suggest to you, if nothing will break your focus, and you will fix your gaze on the word of God, and you will totally look up to Christ, the author and the finisher of your faith, by the time I finish preaching, healing should be manifesting where it was impossible. For with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. The Bible says, for God keeps watch over his word to perform it. So if the word has been taken into your life and assimilated into your life, then he will supervise that word and perform it in your life. He says, for there shall be a performance of the things which the Lord has spoken. The reason why he will send his preacher is to re-echo what he has said in the word of God. So when it is declared, then know assuredly that there shall be a performance. Today I declare to you, there shall be a performance, a performance, a performance of the things which the Lord has spoken about. If you believe that, shout yeah. One of the symptoms of a crushed spirit is that you become so vulnerable that there are things that divide your attention. Your focus is poor. So sometimes life is without meaning to you. And you are not able to stay on course. You are not able to pursue your purpose. Some of such people become withdrawn and isolated. And sometimes they won't wish to speak to anybody. They may also not pick their phone calls. And they will just remain in that closet. And they will be in that cave. And you have to wait for them to come out. Sometimes they lose appetite. Or sometimes they eat too much under their depressive tendencies.
Such people who have the crushed spirit can become critical and judgmental. I know a gentleman who was so critical in every church that he went to. He was a fine minister of God. He had excellent knowledge in the word. He was very articulate in preaching the word. But he had suffered a series of events that were disappointments to him in ministry. And because of that, he came to a certain posturing where he became critical of everybody and decided that he could not work with anybody. So whenever you met him, he had a catalog of people that he had worked with and said, "No, Pastor, then he went on his own solo. And unfortunately for him, after 20 years of being solo, he had nothing to produce. He got so depressed, lost one of his children, and decided God had abandoned him and desired to die. Within 2 years, he sorrowed till he went to the grave. For me, one aspect of ministry is the state of the emotional health of people, the state of the psychological health of people, and the state of the physical health of people. Many times, the external ones are visible. They are seen because we had a wound, a sore, and it healed. So we can see the scars. But the one spiritual is not visible. And the wound may be there. It may be festering. So it can be a senior pastor who's wounded, but this is a wounded pastor trying to minister in the pulpit. Because you are wounded, you are vulnerable to more wounds. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? There are some sores. When they occur at some angles, maybe on your arm, you can't even stretch your arm. Because if you did, you'd be pulling the muscles. And sometimes the overstretched muscles will pull into the sore. Church, may the Spirit of God touch your life and touch my life. Can I hear an amen? May the Spirit of God remove the pain from our inside. Shout amen to God's glory in the name of Jesus Christ. So we don't present a facade that we are tough and we are strong. No. The strongest person can be vulnerable because some events can take you by surprise. Was he not the same man that gathered 450 prophets of Baal onto Mount Carmel? Was he not the same prophet that gave them opportunity from morning to evening to call upon their God, that the God that answered by fire, let him be served? He said, let's make a determination of this matter. If Baal be God, let him be served. And if Yahweh, Jehovah be God, let him be served. These men cut themselves, recited incantations, the prophets of Baal, from morning to evening, and it didn't work. Then there comes the prophet of God, Elijah, without any effort. Oh, come on. He said, offer me an altar, dig trenches around it, pour barrels of water, and let it become a small lake, Okichobi, or Lake Tanganyika. And let the water be flowing. So they see that the present conditions would not encourage any combustion or burning. Then he proceeded to call upon God. And the fire of God came, licked the sacrifice, licked the stones for the altar, and consumed the water. The same bold man arrested all of them in the presence of the wife of the king and commanded them to be slain, one man. Then Jezebel heard of it and said, "You are a dead man. I will use the instruments of state to pursue after your life and finish you." The same powerful Elijah became vulnerable Elijah because he must have been wounded in spirit. Come on, put your hands together. Today you are not clapping like you have healing in your spirit. The strongest man at one time can become vulnerable in another time. Jesus, because he had to give his life as a sacrifice and as an offering for humanity, he got to a state where he said, "Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." Because we are human, we may be faced with serious challenges. Sometimes you face spiritual attacks, although you are very prayerful and you fast the Lord and you walk in the light of the word and you don't understand it. And sometimes the attack keeps repeating itself and it can be quite disturbing. But it takes the grace of God to stand and to press on and to be resilient and to persevere until you see total victory established in your life. So we pastors are not superhuman. Tell the next person, you are also not superhuman. You can be vulnerable. You see, you are not all the time powerful. Are you getting me? Your emotional state at a time can vary. The magnitude of the thing that comes may hit you hard. So that's why we have to remain in humility and seek the face of God. Oh, come on, put your hands together. Come on, clap. Let the whole church clap. When I see people say, "Oh, as for me, I don't care." And every time, "As for me, I don't care," I say, it will get to a day where you will bite more than you can chew. Because very soon you will care. For me, when somebody starts something like that, I take it seriously and I start seeking God's face. And I start looking for scriptures that I can meditate on to guard my heart with all diligence. God will protect my life. But as for my heart, some things must not enter. Offenses must not enter. Disappointments must not enter. Pain must not enter. Sorrow must not enter. It can linger around in my mind, but it must not enter. So guard your heart with all diligence, vigilance. Be a vigilante over your heart. Some of you give your hearts away too easily, and people trample upon your heart. And then you come back and your heart hurts. But guard your heart. I cannot be preaching consistently every Sunday. I face the same conditions of temperature and pressure like you. I face issues of spiritual attack like you. I face issues of disappointment like you. I face various issues. But I must lift myself above the flood by the grace of God so I can be a source of inspiration and a continuous source of encouragement to you. I must understand the scriptures through and through. That's why David learned how to encourage himself in the Lord. Because the thing he was facing from his arch enemy, Saul, was too much. Too much. I'm sure Joseph also had to learn how to encourage himself in the Lord. Because the successive events that happened in his life were not for promotion, they were for demotion. That's why Jacob had to encourage himself because his salary was changed 10 times, not for the better, but for the worse. But Jacob kept dreaming. Jacob kept believing God in spite of the disappointments. Oh, Pastor, I dated a guy and he disappointed me. The second guy, we were just preparing to get married. We had bought all the things. And then the sister came to say something. And then he changed his mind. As for the third one, we were about to walk to the altar. And I did something. And he says he's angry. Pastor, there's a spiritual marriage. There's no spiritual marriage. A marriage is something that you consciously agree to. If you have not consciously agreed to marrying something, that thing is not a marriage. It may be an attack. It may be an oppression. It may be an assigned demonic spirit, but it's not a marriage. So don't open yourself and say, I'm spiritually married. It's the worst thing you can do to yourself. Come on, put your hands together. I'm teaching you the word. Have you said any vows with any demon? Have you walked down the altar with demon so and so? Have you placed a ring on the finger of demon so and so? And did he reciprocate or she reciprocate with a ring on your finger? Did you walk with a demon to take photographs after that? And what about reception? Was demon so and so seated on your left hand or on your right hand? Did you walk after that for the honeymoon? Where did you have the honeymoon? With demon so and so. Then you come and tell me your spiritual marriage. I don't use those terminologies. Yes, but Pastor, you see, you can see a vision and the person is standing there. Is I say, yeah, it's an invasion into your privacy. So throw it out, because if you're spiritually married to demons, so and so, then you must go to the High Court of Ghana and break the marriage. Then you start being sorrowful to yourself. When you are healed, you become pleasant. When you are healed, you are not afraid to relate again. But you know how to guard your heart with all diligence. You will hear bad criticism, but you know how to guard your heart. There are things you will hear that you act like you haven't heard. And sometimes after 7 years before you hear me talk about it. Oh yeah. Yeah. Ability to control yourself. Maturity is ability to respond to your environment. If you respond negatively, your environment will overwhelm you. And when I talk about environment, I'm talking about different things, including human beings, spirits of darkness, events, circumstances. What happened to you in childhood? Oh, I included. The person that jilted you, promised to marry you, and you invested in that life, spent a fortune in that life, half your salary was used in cooking for him every weekend, and you cooked some of the sumptuous meal, you could have easily passed for the best chef in West Africa. Oh yeah. You cook those things that is as if a line was drawn and some salmon, roast salmon, was placed there. And some leaves were placed there. I went for a party recently and the host was telling me, Reverend, do you know the cost of this? When he told me, I was shocked. We were few because of COVID circumstances, very few. And he says that the whole thing was 100,000 cedis. And if you see the lines that they drew with the sauce in the plate. But ni ade santo won we fa ni eye yo. Almost to kotaya break a bestu kataya. O draw lines ye ni ye ni. Look at ba ishwe afa. But it was a nice meal. It was from one of the best chefs in the country. And although they were small, there were six courses. By the time I got up, I was full. I said, oh. See, the thing was small and nice, but witty. Oh, come on, put your hands together. I am saying you have cooked so much for the man that you could have been the best chef in West Africa. Now your heart is broken. You are in a relationship small. Then the guy says, oh, I don't have a fridge. Then he says, oh, come and take my fridge. You don't know what is in his head. You don't know what is in his mind. You are dating the lady small. He said, I'll rent a house for you. And I'll be coming. And she's dating two other people. One day, one out of the 365 days, you will go and meet somebody in the house. Somebody else. Somebody say, gate crashes. These things break the heart. They crash the heart. They wound you. They offend you. The Bible says we should trust in the Lord and look up to Him, and only Him will provide our answers. Other men will be channels, but God is the source. Unless God releases, the channels cannot have. Unless electricity is released from the area of the dam, Akosombo, we cannot receive power through the pylons and the cables in our home. The electricity must be generated and transported to a house. God is the generator. Oh, can I hear? Can I hear an amen from someone? The Bible says, lean not on thy own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Somebody put your hands together. Somebody put your hands together. Somebody put your hands together. Oh yes, you are encouraging me. My spirit is being built up. I'm being encouraged. I'm being motivated. Oh, may the Lord bless you. Any clap you do, may it open a door of divine access unto you. May angels be released on assignment to you. May the Spirit of God be released to minister to you. May the power of God overshadow you. May the anointing of God fill your heart. He heals the brokenhearted. He heals the crushed in spirit. You lost someone, it's understood. The pain is still there. You miss the company of the person. You miss the support of the person. But the greatest supplier is God. Look up to God. He's your consolation. He will console you. He will strengthen you. He will encourage your heart. By the Spirit of Almighty God, He will heal you. He will take your pain, the pain out of your spirit. He will take the sorrow. He will take the disappointment. Your crushed spirit, He will restore. He will repackage you. He will put you together. He will bring more energy into your spirit, man. the Bible said the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmities, but a wounded spirit who can bear. May your wounded spirit be healed. May your crushed spirit be healed. And may your spirit be restored in its capacity, in its vitality, in its energy, that you will rise out of the ashes and say that you're going to work for Christ. You are committed to the cause of Christ. Away with the pain, away with the disappointment, away with the hurts. I will pick up the pieces together and I will follow Christ. I will serve him all the days of my life. I will dedicate my heart to him and I will guard my heart.
Sister, when a man is playing with your heart, you must know. Promising you and saying things. He says, I'll give you money. Then he gives it to you on Friday. Then Monday he comes to borrow more than he gave you. You must be smart. Shine your eyes. Open your eyes first. And shine your eyes. When he wants something from you, then he pretends he's angry. Then he won't pick your calls. Then he's annoyed with you. Because he's trying to remotely control you. And you're not seeing it. And you're following him like a little trailer. Like an abubuya. Abosoka macho truck. People will come and promise you, I will do this for you. And sometimes, although they desire, they may not be able to do it. Then you have placed all your hope on them and you are praying. No, listen to me. When you are praying for a wife, pray for a wife from God. Don't look for a wife, in quotes, before you pray. When you are praying for a husband, pray for a husband from God. So your prayer will never be wasted. But if you keep locating brother A, brother B, sister A, sister B, and praying, when they leave you, you have wasted your prayers. I'm preaching the word. And by that, your heart cannot be broken. When we say, let's praise God, and we wave the handkerchief. No, these days they say we shouldn't wave handkerchiefs. Lift up your right hand. And wave it to the glory of God. Wave your right hand to the... I'm instructing you. Wave your right hand to the glory. Yes. Yes. The church must be healed. Because inadvertently, unconsciously, you will step on toes. Sometimes my examples may be difficult. So I have to have wisdom before I preach in what examples I cite. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I may have counseled someone and I have to be careful. And some of you, I don't care how you feel and I don't care. You always don't care. Hey, care a little. If you were in that position and you've lost a loved one and a preacher say, I don't care what has happened to you. I don't care what the devil has done. I don't care who are you. No, I care about whom you have lost. So I'll preach gently. The Bible says, a bruised reed you shall not break. He says, comfort ye my people. Comfort ye my people. Speak ye comfortably unto Jerusalem. There's a time to speak comfortably unto True Vine. And comfortably unto our audience. On audio and video. Come on, put your hands together. The people that are most insulted that I respect are the presidents of the world. Hey! The presidents of the world. One president says, if you survive radio discussions from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., you heave a sigh of relief. I respect them.
everything they will be blamed for it. Everything. 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 Listen to me. There is a certain amount of rain when it falls in terms of the volume and intensity for 3 hours. It doesn't matter which country in the world has the best drainage system, there will be flooding. Otherwise, you will never hear about floods in France and Germany. You will never hear about floods in Italy, in the US, and in the UK. Within 3 hours, there will be flooding. So as soon as there's flooding, I don't want to be the mayor of the city. I don't want to be the metropolitan boss. I'm okay where I am. I can I will get some criticisms, but have you seen sometimes you are hurting, but because you want to show bravado, you don't want people to say, "Nien wo, you know, plan o kona ne shi sen kona kona shi." Shh, onye star star. Think about preach. Put your hands together.